Just with this one, oh Lord, please let it work. I brought my other handwritten notes just in case. Hi. Hi. I'm Laura Kronk. You probably already figured that out. And I'm from Ketchikan. And Les and I have known Nancy for, we were thinking the other day, probably 13 or 14 years. And of course, whenever she comes to Ketchikan, it's like majorly awesome. But my verse today is from 2 Corinthians 3, 4 through 6. And in the New King James Version, it reads like this. And we have such trust through Christ towards God. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the spirit. For the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. The NIV version says, such confidence we have through Christ before God. Not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence comes from God. He has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not from the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. So when I first got this verse from Nancy, which if any of you ever spoke for her, it's always one of those, oh my gosh, you struggle for a while before it. Debbie's nodding her head. And that Bev, I'm sure you've spoken for her, so it's like, oh, see, so yeah. And so my first thought was, oh, his sufficiency, you know, his grace is sufficient for me, right? Which things that are going on in my life, my health and everything else was like, yeah. And then I got to looking at the verse and it's like, okay, wait a minute, this one's different. And so I really started researching it, and we'll get into that a little bit later. But before we get there, I have a couple of questions for you. Oh, Les, in my pack, in the little, yeah, that one. Nope, not that. Back up. That one. No, the little one. There's purple pieces of paper. Will you hand everybody one, please? So my question is, so it says we're sufficient for what God's called us to do. Do you know what your calling is from God? Do you have a ministry? And a ministry, you can have a ministry like Nancy, or you can have a ministry like Kim, who goes to McLaughlin every single Monday and ministers to those boys. What does your heart long to do? What does your heart just pull you towards? What are your gifts or your talents or your skills or your abilities? What were you born being good at? Okay. Has God spoken to you maybe many years ago about something that he has for you to do and you just haven't quite gotten around to it? Okay, what is that thing that you've always dreamed about doing? And I'm going to kind of call it a thing because some people get a little intimidated by the word calling. You know, Nancy has a calling, I'm just me, right? Or ministry, right? So-and-so has a ministry, I just visit boys in McLaughlin. But it's a ministry. So what is that thing that you've always dreamed about doing or that God's poking you about? Is it a big thing, a huge thing, bigger than you dare hope that you can't even imagine how it would ever happen? But it's in your heart. You remember when in the Bible it talks about all the things that Jesus did and Mary pondered them in her heart because she knew something bigger was coming, okay? Are you still pondering those things in your heart maybe? Or is it a quiet thing, a steady thing, a close and wonderful thing, a smaller thing? You know, you can have dreams for big, awesome stuff, but don't discount things like helping out with a conference, running off flyers at your church, encouraging people, walking alongside of them. You know, do you have something that will lift up and encourage people? I think most of us here believe that God wants to use us, right? Is there anybody that thinks God doesn't want to use us? And we can use the big us, right? Because we'll get down to the me us, right? God wants to use his people, right? He wants to partner with them. He wants to use them to be his hands and his feet. We've all heard those kinds of things. But are you walking the walk and talking the talk? You know, are you doing it? We all have those things. And maybe you've heard those things from God. You know what it is. You might be doing it a little bit, but somewhere along the line, you may have been hurt. Or somebody discounted you or shed doubt upon your heart's desire. And so you've stepped back and you've gone, well, maybe this isn't quite what it is. Or even a false sense of humility. Oh, I couldn't do anything like that because I'm just not good enough, or God wouldn't use me because I'm too fill in the blank, right? If you can believe it for other people, can you believe it for yourself? I'm one of those people, I can pray for other people. Yeah, believe it. But turn it back around and look at me and go, well, okay, do I believe that for me? I believe it for all of you, right? Do I believe it for me? Well, but Lord, right? And we all have excuses, right? I've never gone to seminary, Lord. I don't know the word good enough, you know? I don't like getting up in front of people and talking, which is not a problem for me, right? But I don't... You know, I'm too tall. You know, I'm inarticulate. I don't have energy. I mean, you could go on and on with all of the fill in the blanks. I can't. I don't. I haven't. I stop it. Stop it. Because stop with the self-doubt. Stop with the excuses. Stop with the avoidance. Because sometimes we don't discount it. We just, like, find other things to distract us so that we don't have to quite look at it, right? I don't have to see Bev if I'm over here doing something else, right? Because God's called us all, every single one of us. Even children, you know, I mean, there's we've heard the saying, there's no such thing as a junior Holy Spirit. I have had 6-year-olds, 8-year-olds, 10-year-olds pray for me that, whoa, you know? So if God can use kids, he can use me, right? So we're all called. We're all chosen. And the reason I know this is because the Bible says it. Okay? Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. That good works is a verb, by the way. Doing something, right? Which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Right? What does that mean? He's got a job for us to do that he's already prepared that we're supposed to go do. It's pretty clear. Or how about in the Beatitudes? Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Okay, that's a good verse. Just live your life in a way that people will see Jesus in you. You know, we need to make sure that we live a holy life, which that's kind of a scary term sometimes, but to walk in wholeness, in fullness, in love, in compassion, in all of those things that God asks us to be as people, right? But if you're still not sure what your thing is, remember your calling, your ministry, but thing. I'm going to give you a little out here. Here's some suggestions out of the Bible. 1 Corinthians 12:7-11 talks about manifestations of the Spirit. Now, if you don't know, manifestations of the Spirit are when you're walking in the Spirit, you're doing it, you and God are like communing and everything else. It's things that present in your life. As you're doing this, right? We think of it in church services, manifestations of the Spirit, right? So the list is wisdom, right? We can all use wisdom. Words of knowledge, faith. Who knew that faith could be a manifestation? We're all supposed to have faith, but this is like that faith that goes beyond, right? Healing. Miracles, prophecy, distinguishing of spirits, discerning of spirits, being able to tell, is this of God or not? Speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues. 2 Corinthians 12, 28 through 31 talks about different things, positions, apostles, prophets, teachers. Are you a teacher? Miracles. I mean, miracles. Ooh, wouldn't that be a cool one to have? Healing, helping, guidance or administration, various tongues. Romans 12, 4 through 8. There's a lot of 12s in here. Lord, what's going on with the 12s? Concerning gifts, okay? We talk about gifts, right? Prophecy, ministering, which ministering basically means service, okay? When Kim goes to McLaughlin, it's a service that she's doing. It's a, right? You can call it service if you get a little freaked out by ministry, right? And I'm excited she was telling us about it the other day. It's pretty cool. Teaching. Do you love to dig and research and find out cultural history of that? Word definitions. I'm a word person. Those kinds of things. Exhortation or encouragement. That's one of mine. to encourage people, to exhort them, which exhorting is sometimes you need to stop doing that, and here's what you need to do. The other side of it, the encouragement, right? Giving. And that means money. That means time. That means resources. Leadership or government. Governance. Being a good leader. Being a good administrator. Being somebody that can help put those pieces together. And mercy. Oh, Lord, give us all more mercy, right? And then you've got Ephesians 4, 11. Which is the fivefold ministry. Nancy talks about that a lot. Apostles. An apostle is somebody who establishes, who sets, who builds. Paul was an apostle. He established and built churches. Prophets, people who speak God's heart into the kingdom, into people, into situations. Evangelists, you know, they're the ones who go out and bring them in. And if you have ever really been around somebody who is called to be an evangelist, oh my gosh, they know no strangers. You know, you're in the ferry terminal experience here, you know, and they're going up to total strangers, striking up conversations with them, praying for them, handing out cards, and you're like, this is so cool, and so not me. Pastors. Pastors are those who want to bring people in and take care of them. They're the shepherds. Where's my flock? They're the ones who go after the one that got away, right? Teachers. Those are the ones who impart wisdom and knowledge and give you insight into the word. We're really lucky in Ketchikan this summer. John and Lisa Brevere, if you don't know who they are coming for the Southeast Alaska Christian Women's Retreat. Did I say that right? And talk about teachers. Both of those two are gifted teachers in revelation to the word. There's times when I'm watching videos or something and it's like, whoa, you know, and it just brings on those lights, right? And I won't go into the more detail of all of those things. If you're new to those things and you wonder what's with them, then find somebody who knows about them. Find a good book about it. You know, do research on your own. Get a big concordance or a Thompson Chain Bible. Do they still have Thompson Chain Bibles? You know, and do the research. What are the verses that are connected? And there's something. All of us should be able to find something in one of those lists. You know, and you're like, oh, well, I'm not this and I'm not that. I mean, well, what about helping? What about helps? I mean, come on. Churches always need help, right? They always need somebody to help set up, to take down, to record, to run copies, to make the schedule, to, you know, they're the behind the scenes people that make it happen. Debbie Grimes is Nancy's help. You know, and I am not discounting it as a lesser gift. Trust me, I have this gift. I love enabling people by taking care of the smaller details to do, to be up front, to do what God has called them to do so that they can don't have to worry and they can do their thing. Right, Debbie? We've talked about this. Okay, so still not resonating with you, maybe? What about your gifts and your talents, your skills and your abilities? And I'm not talking gifts as in gifts from the Lord. Again, go back and look at that list, though, because it's in there somewhere. But gifts and talents, what kinds of things are you good at naturally? Okay? What kind of skills and abilities do you have? Do you love music? Are you good at music? You know, Kim's a music teacher. She's a voice teacher, right? And I'm picking on Kim because we had this great conversation the other day, and I know she won't mind me picking on her. can you sing? Can you play an instrument? Can you write music? Or Les was telling me about Ben's awesome raps. You know, it's like, go Ben, right? Or writing, right? Debbie Andrews had a picture of a quill when they were praying for me just before this, a feather that was a quill, and it was writing. And Les reminded me because you know how sometimes you need somebody else to remind you need to record it when people pray over you because you get kind of stuck on one thing. And writing is one of my abilities, one of my skills that God wants me to use, okay? You write poetry, do you write stories? Don't give me that look. Les is just looking at me like, And they're praying for me, and they're talking about sufficiency, and I'm like, you know, you're going to talk, right? So you're kind of freaking out a little bit, and I'm like, okay, oh, I need to take my own speech here, my own presentation, and go, okay, Lord, you will make me sufficient for this presentation, right? It says he will, so. Are you a teacher? Like I said, do you like finding out the who, why, when, where, how, the before, the after? Are you one of those people when somebody's preaching out of a verse and you read the chapter before and the chapter after because you want to know the context, you want to know what the people were and what the church was and who was the guy talking about it, and you know, you might be teaching. Or how about administration? Les has the gift of administration. And he is, and it's an innate thing that he's always just kind of been born with, organizing stuff. I always say that his calling in life is to turn chaos into order. That's why he married me. And opposites attract. And the reason for that is so that you can balance each other out. So the things that I've learned from him and how to be more focused and more, because I tend to be more of the touchy-feely, let's go with this over here and oh my gosh, shiny thing, and you know. And so I've learned skills from him, just like he has learned people skills from me, and he will be the first one to tell you that. But he sees the whole picture and knows how the pieces need to come together to make it happen. And I'm one of those people that is good at taking one of those pieces to make it happen, right? We need those people over, but you got to have all those individual people, pieces to come together, you know? So don't discount that. Okay, other things that we didn't talk about, are you good with your hands? Are you a mechanic? Be a mechanic for Jesus, you know? How can you use that skill to reach the lost or encourage the saved? You know, I'm one of those people, and this is kind of a side note here. When Nancy was talking last night about the things to do to lead someone to the Lord, right? The planting the seed and watering it in the word and then harvesting it. And it's interesting because one of my favorite verses when I first got saved, which is not a typical first saved verse, was Paul talking, I planted, Apollos watered, but it was God who gave the increase. He's talking about saving people, right? And so for me, that was because I didn't see myself as an evangelist, but it's like, okay, I knew then somebody has to plant, somebody has to water, right? And I totally lost my train of thought. It'll come to me. When the team got here, we were here on Wednesday night, and Lisa, I don't know, maybe she was talking about it on Tuesday, was talking about when she got here, the sound system wasn't working. The whole left side wasn't, the speakers weren't working, there wasn't, and she, and Lisa was stumped, which for Lisa to be stumped is rare, right? That woman knows her stuff. And she said she was just about ready to panic and send out an SOS, and some guys came in, and I don't know who they were, you'll have to ask her, came in and said, oh, was it Gene? All right. So Gene and Jesse came in. Was it Gene and Jesse? Okay. And came in and said, oh, no, we got this. We just put this in our church or did something. They understood the system. It's a Bose wireless system, I'm thinking. So they went up. Oh, yeah, here it is. And some stuff was wired backwards. You know, so here's Gene and Jesse coming in, right? Hello. They got the skills, right? And Lisa's like, yay, what a blessing to point to hope. What a blessing to Lisa, because then she's not panicking anymore. And what a blessing to this church, because now their sound system works like it's supposed to. Right? Because two guys walked in the door and go, oh, yeah, we could do this. This is our skill. And I just love that. I love it when God does those kind of things. Okay. So if you're still thinking, how do I qualify? I mean, come on, Laura, you have no idea what my life was like before I was saved. You know, I still smoke cigarettes. I still watch R-rated movies. I still fill in the blank. You know, I still don't read my Bible enough. I still don't pray enough. Do any of us? Come on. I don't have an education. Okay, have you looked at the people that Jesus surrounded himself with? I mean, come on. One was a tax collector, right? Now, you got to understand, if you don't know the context of this, tax collectors were considered sellouts. They were traitors. They were the lowest of the low. A Jewish tax collector, from another Jew's standpoint, was like, no, right? What about fishermen? Okay, in Alaska, we love our fishermen, right? And fishermen comes, fisher persons come with a certain stereotype sometimes, right? And these fishermen in that day were uneducated. You know, they probably did the basic schooling, you know, at the synagogue, and that was it, right? There was a doctor. Luke was a doctor, right? So you've got a tax collector, you've got fishermen, you know, who've got the gnarly, salted, you know, calloused hands. You've got a doctor whose hands are like, okay, well, okay, back then, but we'll throw it in today, right? Precision stuff. So what of diversity of people, right? Surely you can identify with one of those guys. And ladies, don't discount that they were 12 men. Because we have women CPAs. We have women fisher people. We have women doctors, right? And there are some incredibly awesome women in the Bible. What about Ruth? What about Esther? What about Deborah? What about Rahab? Okay, if you don't know who Rahab was a harlot, which is an old-fashioned word for prostitute. And she, when they were supposed to go in and take the city, and Joshua and Caleb went in, she was one who said, I believe you and I want to be this. I will be your spy on the inside. And she gave them clues. She helped them out, right? She was a prostitute. Did you know that Rahab is part of David's lineage? You read the lineage of David, and she's in there. Which David is a part of Jesus' lineage. So that means Rahab the harlot is part of Jesus' ancestry. Still think he can't use anybody? I mean, come on. I love it. Okay. Now that we've established, he wants you to do stuff for him, right? Quit using excuses, because there's really not a whole lot of excuses left, right? All right. Everybody got a piece of paper from me, right? And if you've already written on it, get another one, because this is just for this one. And because you're going to need both sides. All right. What I want you to do is write down what you think or what you know is a calling, a thing that God wants you to do, a calling, a ministry, a purpose, your heart's desire. You don't have to show it to anybody yet, okay? What is that? And if you don't know If you don't know what that is, then just take a minute and close your eyes. Lord, we just ask for those who are questioning, who aren't sure, who don't believe what they're hearing from you, that you would just give them wisdom. You would give them insight. You would just say, ah, this is it. And they would hear and believe. So write it down. You might even have a couple of things. For me, I have the gift of exhortation and encouragement. I have the gift of helps. And minor ones, hospitality. Les and I both have the gift of hospitality, thank goodness. So when we have people over, one of us is not, you know, crying and moaning. We both have the gift of giving. You know, that's something that's very near and dear to us. So write down your thing. You have to write yours down too. In my pack is a pen. Come on, no excuses. Trust me, we're going to get into no excuses. Okay, is everybody pretty well? I don't want to rush you. Okay. Wait. I'll wait for Les. Do I need to find? Oh, you found one? Yours is easy. I know you know what yours is, so just write quick. I've trained him well. My boys, when they were little, it's like, okay, it's in my purse. Okay, Mom, here you go. Yeah. Right? Okay. Okay. Now, look at what you wrote down. And let's go back to our verse. Okay. And if you get a chance, go from 2 Corinthians 2:12 clear through 2 Corinthians 3:6 because he's talking about the whole ministry thing and we've kind of got the end tail end of it. Okay, let's read it again. Looking at your 2 Corinthians 2:12 through 2 Corinthians 3:6. And hey, if I go over verses references too fast, let me know because it drives me crazy sometimes too. I try to do it slow. All right, looking at this. Now we have such trust through Christ towards God. Not that we are sufficient in ourselves as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency in, look at your piece of paper, is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers, look at your piece of paper, in the new covenant. Not of the letter. There's no rules. There's no, you don't have to make sacrifice. You don't have to jump up and down, turn around three times and, you know, do whatever. But through the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. And again, NIV. And I love words and I love, so bear with me on this. Such confidence we have through Christ before God. Not that we are competent in ourselves to do this thing on your piece of paper, to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence comes from God. He has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant. And this is how you're going to do it, with what you wrote down. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. I love the Amplified version. He has qualified us. He has qualified me as a minister. Okay, where does it come from? Where do we get that? He's qualified me to stand up here. You know, do I like talking to people? Yeah. Do I have a problem with getting up in front of people? Not at all. Do I like doing research and stuff? Yeah. But my real qualification comes from him. And that's what I rely on, right? And then the Living Bible says, our only power and success comes from God. Okay? I love words. My kids, when they were growing up, Mom, what's the definition of this word? Or what does this word mean? Or how do you spell this word? And I would always say, we always had dictionaries all over. I would say, look it up, dear. My kids still to this day, I mean, my oldest son's 35. My daughter's turning 30 next month. And Tyler's 32. They still will go, you know, we're talking about stuff. And they'll go, yeah, never mind, Mom. Look it up, dear. And I'm like, oh, see, you remembered something from your childhood. But sometimes in a definition of a word, so I looked it up. What does sufficiency mean? Sufficiency means adequate for the purpose. And this adequate doesn't mean okay or just enough, or we think of adequate as meh, right? No, this adequate is qualified, okay, which is one of the words. It means qualified. Enough. It means enough. You're enough to do this. Acceptable, ample. You have the ample sources, resources to do this. Plentiful, satisfactory. Which again, we think of satisfactory as meh. But then wait till I tell you the antonyms for this. Plenty, abundant. Okay, that's what sufficiency means. Our sufficiency, all of those things come from God. And sometimes you can define a word even better by its opposite, meager. Unacceptable. Okay, acceptable sounds kind of right, but unacceptable, when you put acceptable against it, that's a different thing, right? Unsatisfactory, right? Deficient. You are not deficient. You are not, because our sufficiency comes through him. You are not inadequate. You are not lacking, and you are not poor. Poor in spirit, poor in all of those excuses, right? No more excuses, right? Because if God says that's what we are. And we need to remember we're not under the law anymore. We're under the Spirit. The Spirit gives life. You know, the Spirit, the law kills. The Spirit gives life. And the law was very black and white, very box, very, this is it. The Spirit understands that we're human, understands that we can mess up sometimes, understands that we're not perfect, understands that we're growing into things, right, and will guide us through those things. So why do we constantly make excuses or avoid doing what we know we're supposed to do for God? Have you ever had that time when you feel like God said, go talk to that person, or give so-and-so a call, or, oh, you need to go up and just tell him God loves him or whatever, or go up front and give a word, or, and you go, right? And you come up with a lot of excuses why. I'm too busy, I can't, I don't know their phone number. Thank you, babe. any of those things, and we have our excuses, right? But now, fan. Oh, excuses why we're not supposed to do that. And I'm not immune to this. I bet if you ask Nancy, she would have things that are challenging her, that God is challenging her to do, that she's, you know, like, and she tells some stories one time, God, why do I have to do this? Or no, you know, and ultimately, we all need to go, yes. You know, we all need to say yes. Because if we don't, God will still get it done. It'll still happen. But you miss the blessing. You miss the ability to be a part of what God's doing when you say no, or not now, or maybe later. Last night, Jesse talked about fear, if you heard him talking, which was awesome. I love that guy. And I could so identify. I'm sitting back there going, preach it, brother. You know, because fear, I think ultimately all of our excuses, all of our avoidance, all of our reasons why are really based in fear, right? Yeah. Right? And what did Jesse say about how to overcome fear? Do it. Right? I'm afraid of jumping off the high dive. Jump off the high dive. I'm afraid of eating peppers. Eat peppers. And then you can decide, oh, was a justified fear, you know, or not. My husband loves jalapenos. We went to Mexico, and he discovered jalapenos. And I'm like, mm-hmm. But yeah, the hotter the better for him. So, yeah, and I needed to hear that from Jesse, because it was a confirmation for me and some things God's talking to me about overcoming fears and how things that I used to be open and excel about, things that I used to believe and have confidence in, and all of a sudden I'm like going, right? Okay, so now look at your paper again. Are you actively doing what you wrote down? Partially doing what you wrote down? That thing that you feel like God wants you to do? Are you finding ways to make it happen? Or is it still just a dream? Is the Holy Spirit poking you about it? And you know what I mean. It's like, it comes up and you go, yeah, okay, whatever. You know? Oh, but what, hey, I just wanted to remind, at least that's what he does with me, right? On Wednesday, I had lunch with Kate, my daughter's best friend. And a little side vignette here. We are going to New York City next month to celebrate my daughter's 30th birthday. And Kate is going to surprise her and meet us there on Friday. Katie, they're both Catherines, and so it's like, what do you call them? So we'll do Kate and Kat. So Kat's birthday's on Saturday, and Kate's flying in on Friday to spend the weekend with us, and then we fly home on Monday. So we're all excited. We're talking about all of this. And so I was telling her about this presentation that I was going to do. And she shared something with me when I was talking about excuses that was really cool. And she said she does a excuse/avoidance list. Turn your paper over and write that on the top of your paper. Okay? What is an excuse/avoidance list? She tries to do this every day. And I got to thinking about it, and I'm like, man, girl, you know, that's awesome. She tries to make a list of what kinds of things she is avoiding, what kinds of things she's making excuses for. And then, being Kate, who's a very linear thinker, she's a math teacher, analyzing why am I doing this? What are these excuses? Are they real? Are they whatever, right? And I told her, I said, I am stealing that. I will give you credit. So thank you, Kate Isis, right? And later in the conversation, I was telling her about joyful moments. And I have this belief that we are all so busy and so crazy in our lives, especially now with cell phones and instant everything, right? That we miss the little things. And God really spoke to me about this during a really particularly down, hectic time in my life, and said, I want you to find joyful moments. And I'm like, well, what's a joyful moment, Lord? You know how in the course of a day, you might hear a child laugh? And children's laughter is universal. I don't care what culture you're from. A child's laugh makes everybody feel warm inside, right? And you acknowledge it. Oh, that's awesome. And you move on. Or there's a beautiful sunset, and you're driving or you're doing whatever, and you go, wow, that's really cool, and you drive on. Or somebody says something. There's a song that comes on the radio that really touches your heart, and you're like, wow, that's really cool, and you move on. And God says, I want you to stop, and I want you to take a joyful moment. Take 10 to 15 seconds. We all have 10 to 15 seconds, right? I mean, the big buzzword lately is mindfulness, right? Oh my gosh, who has the time to do that, let alone the focus and the energy? I've tried. It's tougher than it seems, right? But I can do 10 or 15 seconds. My little flitty brain can do 10 or 15 seconds. So the child's laughter that you hear, find the child. Stop. Look at him. Enjoy, savor that moment. 10, 15 seconds. Take it inside of you and allow that joy to minister to your soul, to heal you, because in the craziness, we're getting bombarded by so much stuff. Take those joyful moments and just hold on to them, hug them. You see a sunset, and it's like, oh my gosh, you know? And you can say, yeah, that's really cool, God, but then when you take it inside of you and you look at it, and you really look at it and you're like, whoa. So those kind of things. So I was telling her about joyful moments, right? And she says, why haven't you written about this? Why haven't you? And I said, oh, well, I have a whole list of things that I want to blog about someday when I'm feeling better and I have more energy and I don't have so much brain fog that I can't concentrate. And then all of a sudden I went, oh my gosh, Kate, that needs to go on my avoidance excuse list. And she's like, yeah. And she goes, and when you said that, because I know you, I went, oh yeah, I understand. And she said, and I need to say, wait a minute, is this helping you by giving you permission to take time to do this? Or is it hindering you by reinforcing your excuse to not do it? Right? So both of us were kind of like, okay. So now what I want you to do on the back side of your paper is I want you to put down three things that are keeping you, slowing you down, preventing you from doing what's on the other side, or doing it more fully, doing it more detailed, doing it more. If you're already doing it, what are some things that God wants you to do deeper in that? Or is there another one that he wants you to do? And what are three things that are keeping you? What three excuses or avoidances do you have? Are you doing this too? He's like, yes, dear. Some people in their supernatural calling, in their thing that God has given them, will get a supernatural poof. Yeah, I remember hearing this one lady talk about how never had a piano lesson in her life, couldn't read music, didn't, but liked to sing, whatever. And one day the Lord told her to sit out the piano, and she could play the piano. Now, the only time she can play the piano is when God's moving on her, but she's like, oh my gosh, right? There are those poofs that happen, right, to enable you to do stuff. But kind of like the seed that Nancy was talking about last night, you know, somebody planted the seed. Were you the seed planter? Yes. We'll say you were the seed planter, Deb. You know, you plant a seed, right? And if you could just plant it and walk away, and then there's, you know, a possibility that it's going to come up and bear fruit. Right? But if you are a good steward of that seed, if you water it, if you fertilize it, if you prune it, we don't like the pruning part, anyway, then it will bear fruit. Whether that fruit is flowers, zucchini, strawberries, or just a lush, beautiful bush, right? But you need to cultivate it. So the same thing happens with our thing, our calling. How do we nurture that? How do we help that grow? Some of us just have a natural ability. Les never even thought about, oh, I have the gift of administration. It was more one of those, oh, yep, that's me, right? But some of us have things that we need to cultivate. We need to be good stewards of. So how do you be a good steward of that? Okay? Writing is one of my talents, and God has been poking me to use it for him. And so what have I done to be a good steward of that, to cultivate that? I've taken writing classes. I took a writing class, went to a writing conference in Bethel Church down in Redding, California, Bill Johnson's church. Oh my gosh. And every single speaker, every single author said, to write, you have to write. Which, if you feel a calling to writing, you totally go, oh my gosh, that's so true, right? Write a sentence. And then put a couple sentences together, write a paragraph. I mean, somebody actually said this in one of the sessions, which I totally, why I remember it. Write another paragraph. Put those paragraphs together on a page. And the nice thing about, it was Chris Vallotton, and he's like, nice thing about computers and editing, cut and paste is awesome. You don't have to put them in the right order. You can rearrange them later. And then put those pages into a chapter. Put those chapters into a book. But you have to start by writing a sentence. Right? Okay. Then I have submitted things that I have written to people that I trust for advice. How does this sound? Does it make sense to you? Am I missing something? What's going on? You know, and that's really scary because that's like presenting my newborn child to people and going, here they are. And you're like, are they going to love them like I do? You know? Are they going to say, oh, no, sorry, that's a really ugly baby, right? And while those people with advice have never, ever said, that's an ugly baby, throw it out, or maybe you should take up stamp collecting, you know, they've given me advice but have never totally shut me down. And then I have sought mentors who, not just writing, but in my life, that I've gone to and said, I really feel like this is what God's called me to do. Can you pray about it? Can you help me with this? Do you see this in my life? And again, nobody has ever said, take up stamp collecting, Laura, this is not your thing, right? And I was willing, I mean, I was submissive to that, because if they said that, you know, a wise man has many counselors, right? So why am I not writing? Right? I mean, I've done things, right? I know what I should do. I know, you know, yeah. And it goes back to fear and laziness and fear and insecurity and fear. And are you getting the pattern here? Fear that, what am I really afraid of? Am I afraid that somebody's going to be critical of what I write? You know, I'm sorry, you do anything in any kind of a public mode and you're going to have somebody who thinks it's dumb or stupid or awful or whatever, right? Am I afraid that I won't have the words? Am I afraid I don't have good enough grammar? Am I afraid I'm not a good enough speller? Am I afraid that my thoughts are too disjointed? I mean, I could go on and on, right? But it all boils down to fear. So what am I really afraid of? Then we go back to our verse again, right? And that God is our sufficiency. If he's calling me to write, and believe me, I have books in my head that I want to write. And because my gifting, one of my giftings is encouragement and exhortation, you know, that's the line that I want to write. I would love to write fiction that has that underlying, it's okay, you know? I have in my head for young women particularly who, Christian, who raised in Christian home, who got waylaid for whatever reason. And somehow now, they've come back to the Lord, but somehow now feel that they can't go back into singing for the Lord, that they can't go back into dancing for the Lord. They can't go back into any of those things because of this past, right? And it's like, oh, sweetheart, you know, that's something that's really on my heart. So, and I lost my train of thought again. Almost done. But he is our sufficiency. He will give you what you need. So you're looking at your list, you're calling, you're looking at your list. So what do? If you feel like to preach or to teach, but you're not sure being in front of people, then preach to your cat, right? Give sermons when you're driving in the car because you got to get used to hearing your old voice going out there, not one-on-one, right? Get used to the sound of your own voice. If you think that's what it is, that's a great first step. If you feel like you're called to the prophetic and you don't know where to start, find a mature, seasoned prophet and go, will you mentor me? You know, Elijah and Elisha, right? It's like, come on, find somebody. If you feel like it's music and you're a beginner, find somebody who loves music. You know, find, you know, and say, will you help me in this? Do you think that this is possible? Can you, will you mentor me in this? Find those people for support. Find those people that will lift you up, will encourage you, who will be truthful with you, and mentor that in you, okay? Remember, where does your sufficiency come from? Does it come from your ability to fill in the blank? No. He gave you those abilities. You need to nurture those abilities. You need to grow them. You need to work with them. But ultimately, it comes from God. So, look at your list. Look at your what's on one side. Look at your list. And then I just want you to go before the Lord and say, help me with this. And I'm going home and writing a blog about joyful moments. So you guys are my witnesses, all right? You are my, I'm speaking it out there. There's a little bit of fear interpretation, but I'm going to do it. I don't. So, and see, that's another thing. Oh, I don't know how to set one up, and what if it's too, blah, 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 right? So, yeah. You know, yeah, my daughter has one. Kate has one. I could go to Kate and go, Kate, how do you do your blog? My daughter and Kate have one together. They're writing a book. You know, so, anyway. Tim.
So when are you going to do that, and when can we check up and make sure it's
when can you, like, make sure that I'm following up on my whatever? What, Debbie? Okay. All right. All right. So just, I appreciate that, Tim, because there is a certain amount of anonymity, right? It's like, oh, yeah, I can tell these people this, but they don't know my Facebook page. They don't know my email address and my, but you know, so accountability. Exactly. Oh yeah. Trust me. Oh, he's been hammering on me for years. So okay. And one of the things that I learned in writing this, because I was really afraid, I have fibromyalgia, and so fatigue and brain fog are, you know, sometimes 2 + 2 = blue. What? That's not right, but I'm not sure why. And writing this, I had to pace myself a little better, but I did it. And it came out fairly organized, right? Was it fairly organized? And so it's like, okay, there goes what Jesse say, you do it, right? So check that one off. So Evelyn, are we ready for prayer? Are you my prayer person?
No.
No. Oh, Debbie's going to... See, and I used you as an example. No, honey, this is good. Because I was talking about giftings and what God's called you to do. And it's like, oh, okay, is music in our lives? Well, you know, we see Evelyn up there and it's like, oh, I can never do what Evelyn does. But I think in the beginning, maybe Evelyn didn't think Evelyn could do what she does. Yeah, so... All right, well, we're waiting for Nancy. Anybody have the guts to share what they have and what they think? And...